From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Andrew Richards.
And I'm Chad Beter.
And welcome to Defrag Tools.
You're over in the host, in the driver's seat today.
I know, I feel privileged. So we've changed sides. I'm on the left-hand side of the road.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about services. So we talked about network stuff last week, which kind of, some of the commands flow across. So we're going to tie in there. A bit loosely, and jump across to services. So, services have been a fundamental of Windows since 3.1.
We should talk about like what is a service, right? Because people you hear about services when are and similar to like in Unix, they used to call it like a daemon or whatever. But it's just a program. Yeah. There's really no mystery here. A service is a program, but it's kind of just designed to be non-user interactive. Yeah. And there's a whole thing about interactive services and non-interactive, but it's a little bit in the weeds.
Bottom
line is typically a service is just something that runs in the background that you're not going to see, but you still need to be able to control them and start them and stop them and all that sort of thing. And they do useful things, right?
Yeah.
So let's see, where should we start? Like service, I guess a good place to start is just to look at them, right? So let's open up an admin command prompt here and SC query. There's a bunch of ways to look at this.
Most people do it through the UI way. We should probably do that first.
Yeah, we could do that first too, actually. Well, let's do this. So SC query, you'll get a huge list here, right? And you can scroll up and scroll down. You see the names of them. But then there's even multiple UI ways to do it, right? Because you've got the services MMC, which we have open here. I usually start run services.msc, but there's different ways to get to it.
Yeah, it comes up as local services when you do a start search.
Mm-hmm. And so that's another thing. The nice thing about this is you get the nice, long, friendly name. And I don't know if there's any other place to see that.
But I like the friendly name until you double-click the auto sizing, because it's so long.
Goes way out. If you double-click that, it'll go and we'll have to. And you won't be able to see anything else. But this is a nice way, and you can right-click and start and stop. And people have probably seen this before.
And I think it's a great way for restart too, because it worries about the dependency list. And so if you have like three or four that are chained together as a parent-child relationship, it will restart the whole tree rather than.
Right, so if we can right-click here. And I actually have had to do, like, the other day I got into a situation where I'd plugged in some audio device and unplugged something, and it started playing, like, my music through, like, my phone, on my IP phone. Like, it just got all whacked out, and it lost track. So I just went and restarted the audio service and the audio endpoint mapper, which I think... I may have actually done the endpoint mapper, but there's a dependency, so it did both, right? Audio endpoint builder. Simple enough. It's nice. Another thing that they really added in Windows 8, the other GUI way to do this is through the Task Manager. You've got the whole services.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, you've got the whole services tab over here, and that wasn't really there until Windows 8. But you do get the friendly names here too. So kind of the same thing. You can't as easily see, I think, the start type, or maybe you can add.
Columns
here. I'm not sure. Is it right click here?
No.
It doesn't seem to have a. If there's a way to add columns, I don't know. But the nice thing about the other one is that you do have that start type that you can see. So you can see whether they're set to start on manual or automatic. And we'll talk a little bit more about what those things mean. So you got those. Let's see. You can through the SC command is probably the most powerful way to do it. You can even do SC query EX, and you can pick on somebody like AudioServe again here, and you'll even see some extra flags and what PID it's in, which I think one of those other I think Task Manager will tell you the PID.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a good time to talk about that, actually. Talking about the PID, what you will see, and especially in here if we sort by PID, you'll see these are all stopped. There is no PID. These are basically programs that are not running. If you get into these running ones, you'll see a lot of these guys are in the same PID. They're running in the same process, and that's just something that Windows does for, I guess, for efficiency purposes and to save on startup time and things like that.
Especially startup time and also VA space for the overhead of loading the process.
Right. So you got this many things going on. We try to minimize the number of actual processes.
Actually, this might be a good chance to show Process Explorer's view of that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's from procexp. It should be on the path.
Yeah, procexp.
So Mark added the support for services, wasn't that long ago, maybe 2 years ago. So if you just hover over one of those SVC hosts,
and you'll see
who's in it.
So like who's in
one
it.
Will have, hopefully one will have multiple in it. Well, if you sort by PID, it was 932, I think it was.
So 932, and yeah, you get the whole list there too. So another way of seeing that.
Yeah, the friendly name and also the alias short name.
Right. And these are grouped. You'll notice here that all the ones in a given PID are part of the same group, and that's actually how the service control manager decides which one to put them in.
Yeah, the idea is that each SVC host, which holds these services, so instead of implementing each one as an executable, each one's a DLL, mm-hmm. It's a private interface. We don't publicly support anybody using this, but our services are a DLL. They load into an svchost.exe, mm-hmm. and then that host runs at a particular credential. So one might be local service, one might be local, whatever it is, local service, no network, local service, and no impersonation. So they've very carefully looked at what the service needs mm-hmm. and bundled them up into similar categories.
Try to minimize the sort of security impact of these and that sort of thing, right? Now, the reason that is interesting is if you are debugging a service, say you're using Windows Debugger or something like that, and you need to say, we'll pick on our old friend Audio, or actually, how about this one, the Windows Windows Update Service, for example. Which I forget what it's in. It's in this 1056, but you can see like it shares a process with
WMI.
With WMI. There's a bunch of stuff in there. If we go sort this way, all these guys are in 1056. So if you wanted to go debug the Windows Update Service, and you attach to that, you're not just going to see that service. You're going to see all these guys, and that can get kind of messy and difficult. So the way you can control that, and there's actually a good blog post out there about this that we'll link to, is using the service control manager. You can say sc config, and I always have to look this up because the syntax is kind of, so you Windows Update Service. So that's the name of the service.
The alias.
The short name. The service name.
Service name. Rather than the friendly name.
Which is Windows Update. Type equals space. The spacing here matters. Own. And now what you're going to see, it hasn't restarted yet. So if I go an SC query on that guy. Query EX. Because then we'll see the PID. He's still in that 1056 in that same shared process. Yeah. But we can stop him.
Individually.
And then restart him. And now you'll see the PID.
It's isolated.
It's 5752, and you'll even see it back in this view here. So he's off in his own isolated service host now.
It doesn't matter. It's just purely an efficiency of using less RAM, but notionally it's doing the exact same work.
He's doing exactly the same work. But the advantage now is if you want to go debug the Windows Update service and you connect to that service host under the debugger, you're only going to see that one.
And the other thing that kind of, there's two things that are kind of useful here is that A, if the bug is a heap corruption, a memory corruption, you've isolated it to the service. Like you can't say, well, the person who crashed was the person who had, caused the heap corruption. You need to split this guy apart into the 5 or 10 run them all individually and then find out which one is killing themselves.
Yeah.
And then you can do debugging that way.
Yeah, so that's the downside of everybody running in a shared process, is that they are, if somebody corrupts the heap, he could potentially cause problems for any of those services.
Now, the opposite is kind of, the integration of them is also important. So if you're debugging a service, you may actually be frozen on something, you know, looking at something, but you may be dependent on something else in the same service that you've now paused because you're debugging. So you might, I don't know what it is, maybe an RPC call or something. And so you can cause a situation where you jam yourself. And particularly if some services will block your whole UI.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get to a situation where you have any UI responsiveness until you've stepped ahead enough.
Well, for example, if you're using the workstation service to connect out over a network share, I mean, that goes through the workstation service. So there definitely can be some impact on the usability of the machine. To set that guy back, by the way, you would do type equals share. And that will change this from Win32 own process back to Win32 share process.
And we'll put it back into the same group type
it had. Yeah, based on the group type that it had. So if we stop and start, and then we query him again, if I can find, there it is, he'll be back in 1056 along with the others that were part of that same service host.
So while we're doing start, we've got to give homage back to Land Manager. We've got to do it that way, right?
Oh, yes. This is actually the way I normally do it, because I'm sort of old school that way, and I just did the habit, right? But we talked about the net command a lot in the last episode, and this is one of these things where it's not really related to networking specifically, but the net command has some service control stuff in it.
It doesn't have restart. It does have.
It does have pause and continue.
You got R. You
start yes, it's got pause and continue, which also SC has.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd ever do pause rather than stop, but maybe it matters for some services. These all go in through the service control manager, which is its own separate process, and it goes out and sends the commands to the services.
If something is banging away at your CPU, you might want to pause it
That's a good point, without actually killing it.
And particularly, there's some, maybe if you bring up the services MMC, right at the top, there's some .NET ones.
Oh, the services MMC.
So there's the .NET's performance one, so I'm not going to end. Rather than the
.NET. Oh, are they?
The .NET optimizing ones, wherever they are. But there's a couple of services that once you install a .NET framework update, whether it be a security update or anything like that, mm-hmm. it goes and recompiles all of your managed applications on disk and makes new binaries. And that can slam away at your disk and CPU and memory doing that. And So that may a good example of something you may want to stop.
You just pause it or something, and then let it go when you're done.
As much as the service is designed not to do this, the background intelligent transfer service bits, it's the thing that downloads Windows Update. So Windows Updates goes, I've got this work to do, and it asks Bits to download it.
Mm-hmm.
Bits downloads the files, notifies Windows Update that it's ready, and then Windows Update runs the install, which then talks to the Truster installer service that does the work, and that's tiworker.exe. And so all these things in combination, the .NET refactoring one, and all these things can really burn your CPU and stuff. So good examples of maybe things you may want to pause if you're trying to get something else done at the time.
Yeah. So there's a whole sort of framework around services where, the groups that they're in and the boot order and the startup sequence. You notice some of these have things like automatic delayed start, like this one here, the Bits service you were just mentioning. Mm-hmm. That was added, I forget, maybe in Vista or something like that, to speed up Windows boot times, right? Because it used to be anything was set to automatic, well, it still is, anything that's set to automatic will start up as soon as you boot your machine up. Automatic delayed start says, okay, we want this to run, but it doesn't have to run right away at boot. Let's boot your machine, get you up and running, and then start that up a few minutes later.
5, 10 minutes later,
whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One day we'll get Yong Ri in, who's probably the best person at Windows Performance Toolkit in the world.
Mm.
And he is an absolute expert at boot performance analysis. And we'll hopefully get him in to describe that in glorious detail.
Yeah, people are always asking, you know, why does Windows 8 boot up so fast? Well, because a lot of smart people are figuring out a lot of ways to make Windows 8, 8.1, and 10. Each OS just gets faster and faster to boot, and it's because they figure out ways to optimize it. And one of the big wins, I think, in Windows 8 or it was even 7, I forget.
I think 7 had the delayed start.
7 had the delayed start.
And 8 brought in the triggers.
And the trigger start, yeah. So another thing is we mentioned a little bit earlier, there's these dependencies, and you can enumerate those. So for example, the Windows, so if you SC query audio, enum depends, I believe it is.
Do you want query there, or you just want enum
depend? You're right, SC enum depend. Audio serve, and that guy doesn't depend on anything, but the audio endpoint builder does depend on the Windows audio service. So if I were to stop the audio endpoint builder, it would also stop the audio service.
So I have interest. See what service depends on. It might. So.
Okay, SCE num depend server. Oh, is it not called server? What's it called? It is called
Landman Server.
Landman Server.
Oh, this is showing its.
What is it? Wait, is it just Landman Server, all one word? Yeah. Okay.
That's showing.
And
its
we
age.
Could have actually done that through the. There is actually a way to do that through SC as well, but I forget offhand what to find the friendly name or the service name or vice versa. If you know one or the other. And also, by the way, SC it depends on the browser service.
Whatever that does.
And this SC, you can also give it a computer name. So if you have admin rights on a remote machine, you can manage them this way as well. So let's see, one of the things, talking about those startup types, let's actually kind of delve into that. What those are actually stored, all these services are stored in the registry. Let's start up regedit.
And if you're a bit of an old coder like me, and you used to run the ATL wizard to create NT-services, you ended up with an RGS file as part of your project. Mm. And then when you did /register, whatever the keyword that ATL generated for you, it just got the RGS file and went whack into the registry, and that's what a lot of it was about.
So the way this actually works, this is going back as far back as I can remember in Windows NT days, is under HQ local machine system current control set services. And now there's this concept of current control set, and you can see here also I have a control set 1. If you look on older version of Windows, you'll see control set 2 and maybe even control set 0. And what those are sort of backups. That was the last known good. In fact, you used to see that in the startup, if you hit F8 to get the boot menu, you'd have one of the options you could boot to would be last known good. Mm. All that was just whenever we boot up and once all the services had successfully started, we considered that a good boot.
And I think you had to log in.
You may have had to log in, yeah.
Yeah, so everything had to start, I think you had to log in.
You log in, and then we go, okay, that was a good boot. So we would copy whatever the control set was, and it was really just only this part of the registry would get copied to control set 2 or something like that. Yeah. And then what you would do is you can look and select here, and you'll see. Then Windows 8, I think starting in 8, they kind of started to deprecate that, so really there's only one now, and it current and last known good are both 1. Default is 1. We've never had a failed. This is all kind of deprecated because it's a little bit superseded now by things like the sort of auto repair and the other things that they've done here and the restore points. And there's a lot of ways to sort of get back to a working state that are much more sophisticated than just like what set of services and drivers, right? Because not only under the current control set services, you expect to see all those same services we saw in the control in the GUI or in those other apps. But you'll see other things in here like ACPI, and you're like, what? That's not a service. That's a driver.
Yeah.
Well, drivers are in here too. They're both controlled through the same mechanism. And if you're to go look at one of these, like say, again, picking on Audio Endpoint Builder, you'll see a start here, a start value. And you can go look this up or we'll link to it. But 2 happens to mean automatic. It's like 0 is boot, 1 is system. Those are only valid for drivers, not services. But for services, it can be 2 for auto, 3 for manual, 4 for disabled. If you're troubleshooting sometimes, you may want to set things to disabled, and you can do that through the services MMC, or if you're really hardcore, come in here, change that to a 4.
Yeah, but then you have to restart the services.exe, which means you have to restart the box because it's a critical service.
Right.
So you might as well just do it through the MMC and do it interactively.
So if you set it to disabled, it will just refuse to start. You can go send it a start command and it will just say no. It'll fail.
Jump down to bits, because I think bits is one of the delayed start ones.
Yeah, we were looking at that one in the GUI. So bits is set to start auto, just like the Windows Audio, but then there's this other key, the other value up here, delayed auto start. So that's how that got added later. And you can see the dependencies here too, for example, that depend on.
So it's a multi-string SZ. So when it's a string null terminator, string null terminator, and then the last one's a null terminator. So you need to look for double nulls at the end.
Yeah, so he's got multiple dependencies. Yeah. And I'm sure if we were to go do that SC enum depends, we'd see those same two.
Those two guys.
Guys, people can try that at home if they want. So let's see. Maybe we should probably talk a little bit about PowerShell too, because PowerShell is kind of the new way of doing this stuff. And I'm going to open this up as admin, otherwise I will get errors when I try to manage things. But you can get a lot of the same stuff through here. I think it's get service. Yeah, get service. And then you can do something like thing there, it'll tell you if it's running. I can, let's see, I've got my audio here. It looks like, my audio is working. I believe it's a stop service is the one here. Yep. So let's go ahead and stop audio service. And what you'll actually see is now that changed to an X, and if you hover over it, the audio service is not running. I have no audio, and it actually is smart, though. I found this out the other day. If you go and click on it, it'll go, oh, what's wrong with your audio? We're going to troubleshoot it. And it'll go, oh, your driver. And it'll come up and say, well, you've disabled your Explore additional options. Anyway, ordinarily, what you'd see is it'd come up and say, oh, the service isn't running, it'll start it. But you've also stopped your driver.
I stopped my Bluetooth because I also have a Bluetooth speaker that I talk to. So.
Ah, so we could go start it up and then it'll also find out that the service is stopped and it'll start it for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's start that.
We can just go old school and go start service.
Audio serve. And look, we have audio.
And I think when you connect to a... through RDP, you can say, I want no audio, and I think actually it stops the audio service.
Oh, does it?
When you connect, because it's mangling all of the audio redirect, and I think when you say no audio, that's really what's happening behind the scenes.
Right.
Cool. The services, they're fun. Don't play with too many, because sometimes you can break yourself.
Yeah, and I know sometimes people try to go crazy and moving things into different groups and things. It's always a good idea to set a restore point or something like that if you start messing around.
Or just have some restraint.
Yeah, or just don't do it. But so that's probably a good kind of general overview of services. You know, it's a sort of a basic fundamental part of Windows, but they're kind of important, and there's a lot of different ways to manage them. Yeah. I believe also PowerShell can remotely manage them too, so for IT.
We did miss triggering. So there's some services that start on triggering. So for example, there's no point running the server and the workstation services if there's no network.
Right.
And so the action of those being enabled triggers the service to start, and same thing goes with log off.
Yeah, I think that was another thing they added in a more recent version of Windows, the triggering mechanisms.
But that's a good way of keeping your footprint low. Don't run the service if there's nothing to talk to. So.
Yet another reason why Windows 8 runs faster on smaller systems.
Yeah.
And it's actually a security thing too, right? Because the fewer services you have running at any given time, the smaller your footprint. Attack surface.
Yeah.
So, right. So that's about it for services, I think.
Cool. Yeah. As always, put your questions below or email us at defragtools@microsoft.com. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Well, probably not, actually. Probably one more week after that.
We'll see you soon.
We'll see you soon. See you. Bye.
Bye.